You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Continuous compliance, what is it? What is continuous MSP compliance? How do you achieve that? All good questions, all important questions, incredibly important questions in 2023. If you are a practicing managed service provider, if you are a company with a managed services division or department, you're going to want to pay attention to this episode because it's really critical. Whether you are a very small MSP shop or you are a medium-sized or you are a very big MSP shop, it doesn't matter. Compliance is important. It's critical, I would say, for the modern-day MSP. And compliance is one of those things that, you know what, it doesn't matter how big or small you are. It doesn't matter if you're just, you know, this is your first week as an MSP or if you've been doing this for years. It applies to you equally. You have no excuse. There's no on-ramp. There's no grace period of, you know, hey, I'll be compliant next year. I'll focus on that. But, you know, we're really focusing on growth this year. You know, that's no. You focus on whatever you need to focus on as you grow, maintain whatever in your business. It doesn't matter what you're focused on, where in your maturity cycle or your growth cycle you are today. Compliance has to be part of that discussion. If you don't have compliance, if you are not compliant, if you are the best MSP in the world, you're growing, your team loves you, your customers love you, but you're not compliant, guess what? You're not a good MSP. And I dare say there's a lot of you out there who are really good operators. You have really good managed services companies. You work for a managed services company that falls into that category of being a good or great, awesome MSP. I hope that's true. What I'm saying is all those things are completely separate from the issue of compliance. Not just are you compliant, but can you demonstrate compliance? Again, all very difficult questions, but we're going to break them down for you here on the MSP Zone, make it very simple and give you some actionable, kind of easy steps to get into not just a position of being compliant, but being continuously compliant. And that's a very critical distinction, which we'll get to right now. Okay, so some of you may be saying, all right, I get compliance. We sell compliance services, you know, to our customers in kind of a loose security type of way. I get that. But what do I mean when I say compliance? It is a really tough question, a tough term, and it gets frequently misused and sometimes abused by people, even well-intentioned people. But I'll give you my take on compliance. I'll give you my take on what the difference is, you know, between continuous versus a more annual or cyclical compliance, because that's a really big distinction as well. And that's probably a good place to start. So compliance, what do we mean by that word when we say it? Well, are you following something? Typically, compliance is a term that gets used in our profession most frequently. I hear it amongst, let's say, healthcare or banking, typically healthcare, right? Are you HIPAA compliant? Do you know how many times I've heard that phrase over the years? Are you HIPAA compliant? My MSP practice, we're HIPAA compliant. Are you HIPAA compliant? What do you mean by that? Well, we took a test, or we have a nice little logo on our website that says that we're HIPAA compliant, and that's what that means. Oh, okay. Well, that's, you just need a logo, right? No, that's not how it works. The federal government doesn't just give you a logo that says you're HIPAA compliant. Compliance, in the strict definition of the of the of the term is, are you following a set of proscribed criteria? Let's just take healthcare and HIPAA in the United States. For those of you who don't know, listening abroad, HIPAA is the United States healthcare federal legislation. It's not at the state level, it's at the federal level. And it applies to the healthcare industry and specifically how healthcare data. Now, I almost made a mistake there because it's a broad sweeping piece of legislation. It is many, many, many pages long, and it has been around for a long period of time, many, many years. Only a certain segment of the HIPAA legislation actually deals with information technology. And that's the main part that we're dealing with, right? You know, most of our members are not healthcare providers. They're not doctors or nurses or, you know, anything like that. But they're companies that may handle IT infrastructure, applications, network infrastructure, could be systems, could be data management related to the healthcare sector, and that's where HIPAA is most relevant to them. Being HIPAA, you're not HIPAA certified, right? Because HIPAA is a federal law. They don't certify you. You don't get certified in a law. You are either complying with a law or you are not. You are in violation of a law or you are not in violation. That's the kind of black and white binary, you know, yes or no, zeros and ones type of status that you have with almost every piece of legislation, right? You are in compliant with it or you are not. That's true with criminal laws. It's largely true with non-criminal laws, civil laws. There are some exceptions. I can't think of any at the top of my mind right now, but I'm sure some exist where the law might actually proscribe a certification process or a licensure process. I'm guaranteeing you it exists. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, but no matter. Compliance is, are you following a law or not? Are you following a framework or not? It doesn't have to be legal. I just used HIPAA as an example of a frequently used law that many people in our profession throw around compliance associated with HIPAA or healthcare. Whenever someone tells you at the next conference, right? Hey, are you HIPAA compliant or I'm HIPAA compliant? How about you? Well, say yes. If you're following the law and you reasonably believe that you're not breaking that law called HIPAA, then you're compliant with it, aren't you? You're not violating it. That's at its most basic form. That's what it means. And now that we've kind of defined that, then we move on to the real critical thing of, okay, well, what does it mean to be compliant in general? And is compliance a static thing? Is it an ongoing thing? What's the difference between the two? And that's really where, you know, we spend a lot of time here at the MSP Alliance thinking about these types of issues because it's really critical to what we do. I mean, as a standards body for the global MSP profession, we very much care about our members who have very sensitive relationships with their customers, and compliance is a very important topic in that relationship. And it has been for many, many years. I mean, decades. And so when we work with our members and those members need to demonstrate compliance, the historical way of looking at compliance was very cyclical. I would use the term cyclical. What I mean by cyclical is it's like annual. All right, it's and I hate to do this because compliance and taxes are really different things. But I'll I'll tell you what I view it as, which is the cyclical concept of compliance is like you're getting your taxes prepared and filed. And most countries in the world, particularly in the United States, you get your taxes done once a year. We're entering tax season, right? We're getting ready to have corporate and personal tax filings. And that happens once a year. Now, you may have other tax filings that requirements that you have to do throughout the year. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the big whopper, the once a year type of you gather a bunch of data and then you submit it to the federal government, to the IRS, and that's it. That's fine for tax, but leave tax aside. Cyclical compliance in the managed services sector is not enough. It is nowhere near enough, folks. It is not adequate. It is not sufficient to demonstrate the reasonable needs and questions and access to information that customers and regulators and other people associated with your customers. It's not enough for them to receive cyclical compliance data. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, it's not enough. Think about it in terms of cyber. It's not enough for you to say to a customer or a prospect that approaches you and says, "Hey, I'd like to ask you some questions about your MSP practice and specifically compliance questions. And, you know, when's the last time you were compliant with, you know, this framework?" And if you said something like, "Well, let me give you a certification or a report that we have from 5 years ago, and it's a really awesome report. It shows exactly how good we were. You would have a reasonable likelihood that that person is going to say, "Do you have anything recent?" Right? This is good for 5 years ago. What about this year? What about 2022? Can you give me something more fresh than this, right? That's a reasonable request, I would think. I know that this is a reasonable request because I field these types of requests all the time, both directly and indirectly through our members. I hear our members, they're being asked, "Hey, we're starting to have our contracts start to say that we have to have not just achieved this level of certification or compliance with this framework, but we have to have it on an ongoing basis." Yeah. You may already have seen this. You may have these types of language or sections in your managed services agreement that you have with some customers. It happens more than you might realize. Well, what are they really asking for when they care enough to put that type of language in an agreement? Is it just a lawyer that wants to pad their billable hours? Probably not. It's probably a customer who is being advised to ask for information about their MSP to give reasonable assurance that the MSP is not just safe 5 years ago, but that they're practicing good cyber practices, good MSP best practices, whatever the request is, on an ongoing basis. In essence, they're asking for continuous compliance. Now, that's one thing to say, well, they're asking for it, they're putting it into a legal document. What does that mean for us? Well, I'm going to get to that, what it actually means to be in striving for continuous ongoing compliance. How do you get there? What are the steps that you need to do? If you're not there today, but you want to get there tomorrow, don't worry. We got you covered. First of all, this is not going to be something that any one person in the company does by themselves. It should be a top-down decision. If you are a good CEO, if you are a good team leader in your managed services division and you are the head of that division, someone of authority in your company needs to start by saying, we are going to be achieving continuous MSP compliance this year, 2023, for our company, our MSP company, or our managed services division in our larger company. Period. You need to start with someone in authority, someone who has the pull to be able to make that happen, to say, this is something we're going to get done. Number one. Number two, you don't get stalled out by saying, oh my God, how are we going to become compliant, much less continuously compliant, if we don't have a compliance officer? Well, there, stop right there, folks. Don't overcomplicate it. Some of you work for companies that already have a compliance officer hired on your team. Okay? If so, that this is still relevant to you guys, but not all. In fact, not that many MSPs actually have a full-time dedicated compliance person on their team. You would have to be of a fairly significant size MSP practice to be able to warrant that type of thing. Now, it doesn't mean that you're IBM big, but you know, if you're probably a couple hundred million in revenue as a company, if you're probably, I think if you're probably at the $100 million mark as a company, and you have a sizable managed services practice, if you're that size, you probably don't solely do managed services. You probably do other things. But if you're at that level and you have a reasonably matured managed services practice, you might want to be thinking about, if you don't already have a dedicated compliance person. Now, you know, it's tough to make these types of snap judgments here, but you know, if you don't have a dedicated person, maybe you have a dedicated team. What does that mean? Well, I like to think of compliance as a team sport, right? It's not, even if you have a dedicated person who's in charge of your compliance at the company, it's a team sport, being compliant. Even a dedicated compliance person cannot run the ball, to use a football metaphor, all the way down the field and score a touchdown, score a goal. You cannot, I used goal for those non-football countries out there. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. You can't move the ball downfield and score by yourself. It's not a single sport, single person sport. It's a team sport. You need other members of your team to help out with this. And that is true whether you are a very small MSP or a very large MSP. And even if you do have a dedicated person for compliance, they are going to need assistance. They're going to need help. And so I am a big proponent of, and this is particularly true for companies that don't have a compliance person that's full-time, and I would say start with a dedicated team, maybe a department or a division. It could be made up of multiple people. It might be made up of, let's say, your CFO or your controller. It might be made up of your head of IT or head of managed services. It might be made up of your head of HR, right? But you pick department heads and you pull them together and say, okay, the three or four or five of you, you're part of the company compliance team. You are now responsible for, among other things, making sure that the company is achieving continuous ongoing compliance, especially for, but not exclusively for, the MSP division. You see how that's playing out? Now what you have is a strategy, and we'll get to the strategy in a minute, but what you have is the individual players of your team who have a reasonable understanding of what is required of them from a compliance standpoint, and enough resources, and this is the real critical thing, folks, pay attention to this. They have the authority to achieve their compliance outcomes. I've seen this a lot where a person, a company says, we're gonna anoint this person over here as compliance officer. And they stick that person into a corner and they never authorize them. They never embody that individual with the authority and the power necessary to go out and achieve their goals. What does that practically mean? I'll give you a great example. A company says, hey, you're our new compliance officer. This happens a lot in MSP Verify, right? When they're going through the process, they're going through certification, and then they say, well, we've named such and such a head of compliance. And then what will happen is because that person was never authorized to, go to HR and say to HR, I need all the new hire records from this date to this date. HR says, why do you need that? Well, because we were just asked by the auditors, by the MSP Alliance, that we need new hires to demonstrate that we onboarded them in the right way, right? Very, very common request for HR. And the HR team will say, no, you're not authorized. I'm not going to give this to you. And then a big fight follows. Then the compliance person says, oh my gosh, I can't get this. And then the auditors say, well, you don't get us this stuff. You guys are going to have a bunch of exceptions because you can't evidence the fact that you onboarded all these people that you say you brought on during the period of review. We have no way of testing it. And the compliance person says, yeah, I get it, but I can't get the HR person to release these records. And then they have to go to the CEO and they have to complain to the CEO and say, hey, we're about ready to fail our audit because we can't get HR to release these records. Folks, that's a great example of a fundamental breakdown of compliance. That is a great example of a lack of compliance. Not because the team didn't onboard those people effectively. In this example, let's assume every single user, that new hire, was onboarded properly. The company can't demonstrate it. They can't prove it. If you can't prove you're compliant, guess what? You're not compliant. I don't make the rules, folks. I'm sorry to tell you that. If you can't prove something that is directly related to a compliance examination or certification like a MSP Verify, you're not compliant, period. And if you have spent enough time in anointing someone a compliance officer or role in your company and you don't give them the authority to be able to go out and across multiple divisions of the company, ask for certain information throughout the year, you are going to have a problem. You're going to have a logistics problem. You're going to have a time management problem. You're going to have a lot of wasted time, inefficiency, and you're likely going to threaten a failure or a lot of unnecessary exceptions in your certification. I'm speaking just about MSP Verify here. That could be easily solved with the appropriate steps being taken. So I like the idea. I really like the idea of compliance as a team sport, as a group of people within the MSP company or the larger entity, and empowering them as a team to be able to say, these are going to be requests. HR, you are going to get requests for new hires. Finance, you are going to get requests for invoices because we're going to have to match invoices up with contracts. IT, you're gonna have a ton of trouble ticket evidence requests that are gonna come in, and you better darn well get those, you know, ready, because guess what, folks? If you've never been through Cyber Verify, MSP Verify before, I'm telling you, tickets are a big element of evidence. It's where a lot of MSPs hold their documentation, and we test a lot of tickets in multiple ticket systems. And if you don't have a process to be able to say, hey, we need backup tickets for this system from this period of time, and you don't have someone who has authority to go to a head of IT and say, I need those tickets in a timely fashion or we're going to be in jeopardy of failing our certification, you got problems, right? It's a team sport. Treat it as such and empower that person and or that group so that they can go out and do what they need to get done. It will save a bunch of time. It will reduce your inefficiency, and it will make life a heck of a lot easier. And that brings us to the third general point of continuous compliance. If you look at compliance only as a once in a year type of thing, you're really doing yourself a disservice. What you should do instead is look at compliance as an everyday thing. It's like breathing. You do it second nature. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take two elements. Let's take onboarding, offboarding, and backup, right? Because those are fairly common things in most MSPs. And even if you don't do backup as a service, you still need to be doing internal backup. And you more than likely are at some point throughout the year either bringing on or offboarding a user in your company, an employee for the company, right? So it's very common amongst the vast majority of MSPs practicing worldwide. To look at continuous compliance in those three elements, those three lenses, when you hire someone or someone leaves the company, an MSP practicing continuous compliance looks not at, oh my God, I have to go back and find good examples of onboarding or offboarding that meet our documented process. Instead, the continuous compliance MSP says, okay, we just hired a new person last week. Let's put them through the checklist. Where's the checklist? Oh, it's here in the onboarding folder. Yes, we open up a ticket. The ticket has it's a ticket template. The ticket template has a following list of items that we do to onboard a new employee of the company. And three departments have to participate in this. But yes, there it is. We followed it. We closed out the ticket. The ticket is now archived, and the ticket is now classified or marked as an onboarding ticket. Why do they do that? Because, well, this MSP knows that they're eventually going to get asked for that ticket. And so when the comes time to provide that evidence, they can just run a query on onboarding tickets or whatever they call it, and they can pull up that list and they can export that list of tickets. Easy. Move to backup. Internal backup, let's say, right? The MSP does daily backups for their internal operational networks and systems. So what do? Well, like most MSPs, many MSPs do this. They have a system for backing up, whether on-premise or in the cloud or both, and then they have a ticket. Generally, it's a ticket. It could be something else. It could be an email alert that says, hey, your internal backup system ran successfully with no errors. Some people have it in a ticket. Doesn't matter. Let's say it's in a ticket. Well, then you have perhaps a category of those backup evidence tickets, and you call them backup tickets, internal backup. And you do that. And every single day you look at it, it comes in, it says, hey, there's no errors. Maybe once in a while you get an error, you flag it, you fix the problem according to your process, but it still goes into the backup ticket queue or the backup ticket category folder, and it's there. And now anytime a compliance request comes in for, oh, I don't know, hey, I need all your first quarter internal MSP backup tickets because we need to evidence the fact that you were actually backing up your data. Well, the continuous compliance-minded MSP says, that's no problem. I know exactly where to go to get that because that's what we do every single day. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our getting up in the morning and coming to work. We're doing this. We're living this. The non-continuous MSP, the more cyclical compliance-minded MSP says, oh, we'll figure this out later. We'll sort this stuff out later. We'll categorize these tickets later, and we'll go mine them later. What does that do? Well, that creates a ton of work. Take it from me, folks. I see it. I see those types of MSPs. And when they're asked for these types of things, it's the difference between a continuous compliance MSP and the cyclical compliance MSP is when you ask them for a bulk of tickets from a certain type of category, the ones that are practicing continuous, they get it like in hours or less. The ones that don't practice this, they're like days, weeks, if they're lucky. And it's not necessarily that they didn't have it, it's just that it wasn't organized. It wasn't easy to find, easy to access, easy to pull up and export. Now, that's not the only thing that marks you as a continuous compliance MSP, but it's one of several that I've talked through, right? But it's a big one. It's a really important one. And it's the difference between what makes it really simple for you to evidence your continuous ongoing compliance and the everybody else that is like just, you know, pulling, you know, like at tax time, you got your table, your kitchen table, and you know, back in the day before digital, you know, you'd have all the receipts and you're going through receipts and you're flinging everything everywhere and everything's chaotic. You don't know where anything is because it's not organized and it's not that easy to retrieve, and that process creates potential for non-compliance. The continuous compliant MSP should be focused, organized, and diligent enough that compliance is like breathing in and breathing out. It is natural to them. They just do it. It's part of the fiber of their company. And they don't have to think about it because it's baked into their everyday process. That's what I'm trying to get at. To be continuously compliant or practice continuous compliance is to be just doing things effortlessly as part of your daily team movements. That is it. It's no more complicated than that, folks. But if you do that, it's not only will you be a better run MSP, but you will be capable of evidencing that compliance and that efficiency far easier than anyone else because it's there. The categorization, the organization, the structure is already built into your MSP practice, into your corporate operations. That is the difference between being continuous in your compliance versus cyclical. Hope that helped.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.